The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah, I'm back from my little pilgrimage last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Where I saw the lovely Mohammed Kafur, and a big thank you to him for spending so much time with me talking about my AstraZeneca vaccine damage. And really, really good. And I have to report, Paul Andrews, that after 8 months of excruciating headaches and fatigue, I'm on day six of manageable, just the odd jab here and there behind the eyes.
You're cured.
I'm terrified to say that.
It's a miracle. She's cured.
I'm terrified to say that.
Thank God for that. We can bring to an end the AstraZeneca damage show.
Well,
I'm pleased.
I'm not the only one, Paul Andrews.
I know you're not.
There's hundreds.
I know.
And what were you saying off air about they've said there's only about five batches that they've tracked?
5% of all the damage from AstraZeneca vaccines were from the same batches.
Which is terrifying, and I bet I got one. Yeah. And also, I know that Moderna in Japan, they found quite a few that were contaminated with metal, didn't they? They sent them back.
Yeah, I saw that as well,
But I wanted to ask how you got on, because your lovely son Jamie was here with little Bear and Sophia.
Yeah.
Have they gone back now?
No, they've gone to stay with his mum now for a few days. So they spent a week with us, which was lovely.
And you were feeding them and, all that.
We were doing loads of things and spending some lovely time with my grandson, who I haven't seen for half of his life because they've all been locked down in France.
Yeah. And has he got a little French accent?
No, it's quite funny. He's bilingual.
He's only three.
He's fully bilingual, but Sophia, my daughter-in-law, was saying at school, when all the kids talk to him, he can understand, and he goes, speak English.
Oh, really? Well, it's quite good, because then he's teaching them English, presumably.
Yeah, and the teacher is going, he insists on teaching all the other kids to speak in English rather than in French. Yeah.
And what's his accent? Is it sort of Kentish London or...
Yeah. No, it's posh.
Southeast?
That's posh.
Of course. Yeah. And does he call you Gramps or Grandpa or Granddad or what does he call you?
Oi, mostly. No, Granddad, yeah.
Granddad, oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
And did he like English food and cooking and things?
Oh, yeah. No,
he didn't ask for, foie gras or anything?
Well, frog's legs, for breakfast. No, he didn't, surprisingly.
Croissant?
No, I'll tell you this. Jamie, right, has ordered, because both he and Bear like this.
A frog's leg?
No. He has ordered a crate of Marmite.
To take back.
To take back, because both he and Bear eat Marmite.
And you can't get it in France.
And you really can't get it where they live. No, they live in a very, very rural area of southwest France. So
I must ask him if he's discovered the peanut butter and Marmite, which is my one weakness.
I've got dynamite chili Marmite.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is that good?
No.
But have you tried the peanut butter and Marmite?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
And I won't be.
I'm telling you, whoever invented the peanut butter and Marmite combo is a genius, because you've got your salt and you've got your fat, which is all addictive, and I could just see a whole jar I could eat. What do you think, Richard? Got a personal trainer here, darling. Yeah. But it's protein, isn't it?
Richard, do you like Marmite at all?
He's got that face.
I like Marmite.
Yeah.
On a good day.
Yeah.
But peanut butter, yeah, for sure. Peanut butter and jam, why would you mix it with anything else?
Peanut butter and jam is lovely. I also like marmalade with it as well, peanut butter and marmalade. I have it on a little...
That did for Elvis, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Yes.
Deep fried.
Deep fried. Sorry, I know you want to get onto this, but I do love it on a, because I don't have bread, I have it on sweet potato toast. So I cut, this is great for your personal training, I cut a sweet potato very thin and I toast it. It's great. So I have my peanut butter on it or marmalade. Yeah. Or a combo.
Right.
There you go. Sweet potato toast. You heard it here first.
With Marmite and marmalade.
Yeah. Or whatever. I'm quite hungry now.
I'm not.
No, nobody else is.
Who might our sponsor be?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
The Business Funk Radio Show is pleased to partner with the Tenterton District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the areas covered by Tenterton and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rovenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch. The Tenterton District Chamber of Commerce exists to promote the sustainable economic development of this area and to provide a collective voice for the area's business. You can find out all about them by going to their website, which is www.tentertonchamber.org. And a huge thank you to the lovely folks at Tenterton Chamber for sponsoring the Business Bunker Show.
Lovely, and so beautifully red. I thought you were sort of a bus conductor there or a train, whatever they're called.
All aboard.
Vanguard. Gillingham. Sittingbourne. Coming soon, this is from our friends up in Scotland. Do you remember when I did my Bonnie Scotland?
When you did 500 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I discovered Mary Jean, the cruelty-free beauty and home fragrance. Absolutely lovely. You can follow them on the Twitter at Mary Jean, that's J-E-A-N, UK. They're shipping worldwide now. They're a family-owned and conscientious Scotland's premier soap manufacturer, certified cruelty-free by Leaping Bunny, and they're in Fogabers in Scotland. I'm sure I haven't said that right.
Where?
Fogabers! Maybe if I said it like Dr. Finlay. F-O-C-H-A-B-E-R-S. Fogabers, Dr. Finlay. Oh.
This is a woman. This is a woman that can't pronounce Westmoreland. So I mean, we're, it could be anywhere. It's probably
Aberdeen. Safer to say.
Falkirk, don't you know, Richard?
It's probably Aberdeen, but yeah. You know, I mean,
you must know it, Richard. So you can find them on the three W's, maryjean.co.uk, and they were on our show last year, weren't they?
They were indeed.
So I did the route 500 N1, whatever it is.
You could walk 500 miles, couldn't you?
I did, yeah.
And then you could walk 500 more.
Yeah, I could. And I could heave her. So they do, and I did buy some absolutely stunning things. So they say, coming soon, our seasonal home fragrance range as wax melt gift sets. Each box has 12 melts wrapped in wax paper. It's all sustainable, you see. There's a spring welcome, there's a summer blossom, there's an autumn warmth and a winter embrace, 130 grams for each set. I don't know about this. It's all very trendy, isn't it?
What's a melt then?
Well, I think you envelope your home in a wafting. You light it, don't you? I think it's like
you put it on a like candle thing, don't you? And it melts the wax.
Oh, okay.
The whole room.
Very clever. You see, young people know it. It's trendy, isn't it? Yeah. This wax melts.
Thingy. Elle knows about their thingy.
Yeah.
It's
technical. It's very technical, but they're...
Do you get the thingy with the melt? Is it a melt thingy?
Sometimes. Yeah, and they also have...
Do you mean a diffuser?
No.
It's definitely a
China bowl, isn't it, with a candle on it?
That's it,
The wax in the China bowl.
Tell you what, my plumber came yesterday, John Harris, the lovely John Harris. Do you know he's booked up till next July? It's just ridiculous. But my loo seat was swinging round, so he popped round to do it. And he said, no, I'm not happy with that, Jules. I'm going to order you a new seat. It's my Moroccan toilet that I've just had done.
Right.
You said you were coming round in your fez.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm still waiting.
I had to brush my fez off before I could use your toilet.
Anyway, so he is ordering me a new toilet. I can't remember the name of it. It's Rex or something. But he's got me a really nice toilet. I said, I want a nice flush. I don't want it so you get skiddies on the side. I want a proper flush, none of that rubbish. And it's got a very sort of normal name. And then the loo seat was faulty, so he's ordering me a new one, as I said. And I said, where was this made?
Is this a soft close loo seat or something?
Oh yes, I always have soft clothes.
I thought it might be.
I do like a soft close, and I, of course, I clean with the eucalyptus. eucalyptus oil, as you know.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
A little bit on the brush.
Mind you, I mean, sticking a koala on a bit of bamboo and you cleaning your toilet is not very animal-friendly, really, is it?
Luckily, they're sleepy. But guess where my toilet's made?
I hate to
think. You can tell by my face.
Go on, China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought, why? Why? We used to have shanks. Come on, think of the old, the old. Think of the old toilets.
Yeah. Shanky.
Yeah, shanky. Yeah. And rock, R-O-C, isn't that Italian or something?
Yeah.
I can't believe that they're shipping a toilet all the way from
China.
They're
doing what? Oh, they're shipping it.
Shipping, yeah. All the way from China. It doesn't make sense to me, does it? In fact, it gets my goat, I would say.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Did we talk about sponsors? I can't remember.
Yeah, I've done the sponsors. That's all I've done so far. We're now 11 minutes into the show and all I've done is mention the sponsors so far.
Talking about home fragrance, though, Elle.
But we'll ignore me and carry straight on anyway.
I just have got an addiction because I like natural stuff. Neom. Oh, Neom. I've got a Neom addiction. Neom. It's not the one in Saudi Arabia. It's not the city.
What do you mean, Neom?
Neom.
Who?
N-E-O-M for mother. Paul Andrews. It's not the city in Saudi Arabia, before you all worry. It's a fragrance, but it's all natural, and it's got your little reed diffusers. And John Harris, my plumber, this is what reminded me, when he was coming to look at my loo seat that comes from China.
I hope you're keeping track of this, because I've lost the plot.
As he came...
Her plumber brings her melts and Moroccan something or others.
He met the new greyhound as well and said, oh, hello, you, because that's new. And she said hello. But... as he drifted out of the hallway, he said, your hallway smells nice, Jules. Because that's how he talks.
Is it?
And,
He's from Essex and all, is he?
He's always got a spanner behind his ear.
Yeah, he would, yeah. And a woodbine behind the other one.
Yeah, and sort of low-slung jeans. And sometimes when he bends out...
Okay.
But let's crack on with that. But he said, yeah, your hallway smells nice, Jules. And I said, it's Neom, darlings, Neom.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, well, you wouldn't.
What is it, then?
It's a beautiful scented fragrance, but it's all natural. Because, your Febreze and all that.
But this Neom thing, what is it? Is it a plant?
Oh, no, it's essential oils, Paul Andrews. And then you put your little reeds in it. You know what a reed diffuser is? I'm sure Amanda uses it. She's probably got odour horse or odour hay or something.
She does smell a horse quite a lot, yeah.
It's just the way she talks.
Yeah.
But, it is really nice. So the fact that he commented on it, because you have to swap them, don't you? So you dip it in and then every couple of days you turn it. They see?
Yeah.
They know. The ladies know.
Right.
Rich is looking a bit baffled.
Okay, well.
Anyway, Neom, but it is an expensive habit, I warn you. So if anybody's listening, Christmas presents, Neom.
Okay. Aldi, I'm not going to name the brand, but they do their cheap version there.
Yeah, but would it be still essential oils? This is essential oils. Some of these...
knockoff?
I know, but some of them have got carcinogenic stuff, like, Febreze and that, and all those plug-ins are really bad for asthma people and cats. Yeah. Check out.
I've lost the plot now. I've completely lost it. I don't know where we're going with this. It sounds like the menu from a Starbucks to me. I mean, chocolate mocha, koala, eucalyptus, neoms.
You can always shop local, Paul Andrews.
I've had a tweet from Michael Part Surveyors. They say it's Tuesday, and that means one thing. Our favourite Business Bunker radio show is on air today. Are you all tuning in with us to listen to Jules and Paul?
Oh, that's lovely.
Why do they put you first?
Ladies first. We've had rather a lot of tweets, actually.
Sinclair Day Accountants from up in Worcestershire. Have a great show, Paul and Jules. Thank you very much.
And DG East, the independent contractor.
He's not a DJ. He's a car supplier.
DG East 1.
Yeah.
I was up at 5 a.m. yesterday to take the new husband to Kim's Hospital in Maidstone. That was a bit of a... He says... you should worry. He's talking about me delivering. I had to hand deliver new husband's letter because Kim's, which is a private hospital doing NHS work, I'm not quite sure why, and it's fabulous, asked him to deliver it. And he said, can't you email it to my GP? And they said, no, because it gets lost.
Yeah.
So they don't have much faith in the NHS system, presumably.
You didn't see my reply to that, did you?
I'm saying you should worry. Says Paul Andrews, you should worry. I had to take a CD with x-rays on it to another hospital because the file was too big to send via internal NHS system. Lol.
Yeah.
So you can as well.
What?
It's even Essex as well.
Yeah, deepest Essex. I am an Essex girl. He was alluding to that, I think, when he said it. So, yeah, you had to take... That's ridiculous.
Yep. Mm. That was when my youngest got his face smashed playing rugby.
As they do.
Yeah. They took a load of x-rays and said, oh, he needs to get down to the maxillofacial clinic ASAP. We can't send the x-ray files by our internal IT system because the files are too big. So we'll put it on a CD and you can take it with you. Brilliant, eh?
Then DG East 1 says the European Automobile Manufacturers Association has warned that production will be substantially lower through to next year because of the semiconductor shortages. That was the word I was looking for about 4 months ago. Do you remember?
Shortages.
Semiconductor.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was the thing. And he's also asking the government to act on smart motorways. When will the government... I don't know about you, I'm not keen on driving on smart motorways.
Nobody is. They've had so many fatalities on there.
But apparently it would be like the AstraZeneca vaccine, won't it? Very rare.
Yeah. It's all about controlling what you're doing. Michael Parks have responded as well to me reading out their tweet. Thank you for always uplifting our community, Paul. Aww. We love the Business Bunker Show, but I didn't mention you this time, which is good.
No, it's a shame. Yeah. I was also saying about shopping local this weekend, so I went down into Whitstable to do a couple of things, and I popped into my local florist, and you'll see my tweet. I just said to her, I want to spend about a tenner, got myself some beautiful white freesias, fragrant, and...
Sorry, what was this for?
What, for me. White freesias
for
me. You
bought yourself flowers?
Yeah, I bought myself flowers.
Bought yourself chocolates as well.
Bougie bougie, darling.
Yeah.
So they're on my dining table. They look lovely, but they fragrant the whole of my living room. It's really nice.
Doesn't it clash with a neon?
No, because that's in the hallway.
Oh, is it? Does it stop at the door then?
It doesn't
seep under the door or anything.
Emanate,
then?
No.
Okay. But if somebody opens the door,
do you get a waft.
Do you get a clash of wafts?
Yeah, you get a waft, but you get freesia with...
freesia with neon. It's not a good smell there.
Oh, it can be. But what was I saying? Yeah, so what I was saying in my tweet was you can go to Tesco, right, and you can buy a bunch of flowers for, what, tenner, £7.99, £8. But when you go to your florist, you can say what you want to spend. You can choose from a whole array and all the scents and that. It was lovely. I just said I was going to get Gerberas, whatever they're called. I don't know, bright orange. And then I saw these white freesias and they're beautiful and they're all feminine and gorgeous. So I said, well, can I have them? But I don't want to spend more than a tenner. And she did them all beautifully with a bit of green and stuff. And then I said, I'm walking home. It's about a mile. So she did it all in a nice paper thing for me to carry. You wouldn't get that in Tesco, would you?
No.
Isn't that lovely?
It is lovely.
Yeah. So do support your local florist if you have one still.
Absolutely. Chips and Dinks have tweeted, it's autumn and it's a new month, but on air this afternoon, the wonderfully supportive Business Bunker Show with Vanilla Webb, that's me, and back in the chair is her, Jill Serkin, to keep us entertained and informed. So thank you. That's lovely, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks.
And I was going to read, there's a Women in Business big show coming up.
There is.
This is not just for big women, but anyone. We're also supporting the Women in Business big show, an opportunity open to everyone to network and hear from new businesses in Kent. It's on the 5th of November, which is when?
Friday.
And you can go to the Women in Business big show.com to book, or else it'll be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
It will be. And Kent Business Radio, i.e. this radio show, will also be at the show. We've got a stand there.
Are you a big woman?
I am a very big woman.
Okay.
And I've got a stand there, and it's at Longfield Academy near Dartford, or Longfield, in fact. And I shall be interviewing the speakers and some of the exhibitors.
Fabulous. I remember once when we used to do those conferences quite a lot, and we, I was giving away humbugs or something. I don't
probably.
Know. I think it was something about you, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I always remember that. Yeah, humbugs. Bowden PR would love a shout out. Hello to you. They say for the Kent community, that's at Kent Community, who this week launched their Surviving Winter campaign to support the elderly in Kent. And all the details are on their website. So that's Kent Community. I'll just click on them. They are kentcffreddy.org.uk. You'll find them on. So go on there and just have a look about how you can help the elderly and support the elderly during winter.
I've started the cheesy tunage because it's a bit of a long
one. That's one of those Depeche Mode, or Doctor Doctor, or Depeche Mode, or Doctor Doctor. The Thompson things.
The Thompson twins. Yeah, Doctor Doctor.
Good, aren't I?
You see what I did there? We're going to talk to Richard in a minute. He's not a doctor, but it's the closest I can get.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
Nowhere near. It's really tenacious or tenuous or something.
Exactly. Anyway, let's have a listen to the Thompson twins. Well done. Nailed it.
Then once again.
Your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. As Jules quite rightly identified, that was the Thompson Twins with Dr. Doctor.
Great tune.
It was cheesy tunage, and it was the nearest I could get. There's a dearth. If anybody's looking for a music opportunity, there's a dearth of wellness and healthy tunes and titles. There's just none.
Terrible tunes, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. The ones they are were horrible. You're right.
I'm racking my banana. Bananarama.
Where did that come from?
Well, bananas are healthy.
Yeah,
but that's healthy, isn't it? Banana.
That would be really tenuous with cheesy tunage, wouldn't
tequila.
It?
Tequila. That's very healthy, tequila, especially when you've got a little worm in it.
I don't think you're getting this. I don't think you're getting this at all.
Hydrate the next day as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hydrate and lots of vitamin C.
Cool. Well, anyway, the whole point of that was so that we could talk to Richard, really, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Richard Turner of Employees Health. Richard, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about Richard?
A little bit about me.
Yeah.
So, good afternoon to start with. I don't know where to start. I suppose I would say a health expert. I've got a degree in sports science, and for the last 8 years I've been a PT. But 2 years ago, nearly 3 years ago, I moved myself into supporting companies with their health and wellbeing.
Right.
And the company I started originally was called Future Year. And then May last year, I rebranded it to Employees Health.
What was it called? Fiji?
Future.
Oh, sorry. Future?
You.
Future You. Oh, I like that as well. But yours is much better, of course, now. Yes.
That's what it says on the tin.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I created that or rebranded to that last year to give people better understanding of what we do.
Hmm. Cool.
And what do you do? Tell us in a nutshell.
Going to say that.
Yeah, okay. But I said it first.
It's like a competition, isn't it?
It's because I've seen my homeopath, Richard. I mean, I'm a changed woman. Yeah. So what's the core of your business?
So I suppose I always say we've got like 2 USPs. The first USP would be I go in and support businesses create better workplaces or more happy and healthy workplaces. And the second USP would be we educate employees in how to live healthy lifestyles. Healthier and happier.
So are you talking about the environment of the office? So like plants, culture. Fresh air, food?
It's more like the culture. Food would be part of that.
Not biscuits and donuts, maybe swapping it for fruit baskets and...
Yeah, fruit baskets. Just making healthier habits at work, but it's also more of kind of allowing people to turn up and be themselves, have a good time at work, and creating a good culture of positivity, where it's not an always-on culture, working too hard, creating burnout, kind of stuff. That's what I mean by working with the employees to create a better workplace culture.
So how far do you go on that? So do you do things like standing desks, for example, or having breaks and getting outside?
I'll be encouraging those conversations, yeah. So I work as a consultant on that side just to help the HR or business owner begin to think about these things, and if the things they can put into place, then it's always going to benefit, right? So we look at it from a physical health standpoint, so your musculoskeletal issues or that area, or you look at it from the food you put in or the mental health and the authenticity of that person as well.
Right, okay. Sorry, you need to talk to Richard because I'm fiddling with some buttons.
Oh, sorry,
here.
No, I'd love to. I was just being pleasant. So I know I've just, because my son, for example, middle son, Shay, has just been working from home straight from uni because of COVID. And I sent him a standing desk and he said it's made a huge difference. When I first sent it to him, he moaned. He said, oh, Mom, it's clutter. He's only got a small flat in London. But now he loves it. And it's a very simple, you know, it's a Japanese one. You can find it on Instagram. A wood and he...
I know they a bit short?
No.
Japanese ones.
No, you carry on with what you're doing. But it's made a huge difference. But I think the culture of, you know, when you're perhaps working from home, you're missing the comradie. You're maybe sitting on your bed or you're sitting at the kitchen table. You're not perhaps having the breaks that you would possibly have when you're working with a load of people, because you're not nattering at the water, you're not walking to another floor for the toilets. So are you going that far to advise people on breaks and getting
speaking
out?
Speaking to people about what they're doing for the hybrid or future of work, we've seen lots of interesting bits around the working from home piece. So one of those bits, as you said, is we're working longer hours because we're not commuting.
So
a lot of people are now using that time they would commute to work rather than to commute. But that means they wake up, for some people,
in the dark.
Yeah, in the dark at 6 o'clock. And then 6:30, if they're sitting at their computer rather than catching the train at 6:30. And then there's that commute time where it's kind of a chance for people to catch up on day-to-day things or be
or unwind
or listen to podcasts or whatever it is they want to do for themselves. They're now at a computer sitting from 6:30, for some people till 6:30 in the evening, not having the breaks, not giving themselves opportunity to live a better lifestyle, and having that balance between working and playing, in theory.
I know there's a couple of companies that supply lovely, beautiful food in the office, and I've been saying to a lot of employers, that's great that they give you salmon and salad and vegetables, but you still have to go out, because you know you're not going out to buy your lunch, but you need to eat your lunch but then go for a walk, even if it's 20 minutes. Do you agree?
Get
a bit of sunlight,
get some fresh air, getting out in the environment, as well as looking at like the team camaraderie side of that as well. You can do that with teams, you can do that on podcasts, you can just use that time for you, maybe re-energize, and just kind of reset the day for the afternoon.
Sure.
Because there's been a lot of negativity about working from home, especially from, you know, some of the snide comments that some of the government people make, you know, getting back into the city and stuff. And I think it's made people almost overwork at home sometimes to overcompensate and show that they're always there.
It's breaking a really poor mindset and mental health culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Issues, having to be on and always there next to your phone to answer the calls, or you can't say no to these people.
And it's also we've had WhatsApp, certainly in my business, we get WhatsApps on Sunday nights from colleagues who are on different time zones. We get them on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're drinking wine, and you might not be quite as astute as you should be.
So they get a much more sensible answer at that time. You're absolutely right. I mean, the whole working from home thing has got a lot of connotations, good and bad. You know, there's all kinds of things. I actually own a community workspace, a hot desking space in Canterbury, and one of the things before the pandemic, we had lots of home workers who actually don't particularly want to work at home, but what they don't want to do is commute. And that's the big thing. But they still need some other human interaction and space to work in and all the rest of it. But coming back to what you were just saying, Richard, I'm a great one at suffering from this. I spend 16, 17 hours a day hunched over a computer or a phone, mostly a phone. I read a lot, and all my books are on my phone as well.
There's one by your bed, though, isn't there? Chain Reaction, Blockchain.
I have kind of read that.
Have you done a review yet?
No, I haven't.
That's right. We were just having bitchy comments here.
She's having bitchy comments. My problem is that, you know, I'm very aware that my posture's wrong. Yeah, I get tremendous headaches caused because I'm hunched up all the time. And then working from home and lockdown for last year has caused my diet to go to pot. So I'm eating comfort food. And then the more you feel uncomfortable, the more comfort food you eat to try and get out of it, which, you know, and you get into these negative cycles. I mean, from your point of view, Richard, how do we start to break that? How do we start to get out of those cycles and pay more attention to our wellness?
I think it starts evaluating your situation, probably is the best starting place, and then evaluating where you want to be and actually how you want your life to look, whether that's right now and the things you can do right now to do that, and that's going to be looking at your habits and the small actions you can take.
Yeah.
But then it's also looking at your, you know, year plan, 5-year plan in theory. You know, you don't need to write this stuff down. I don't. I have an idea of what I want to be doing and how, I mean, it's intrinsically linked with me. Right. And I think when you get people which make those changes, it's because there's an intrinsic link to what they're trying to achieve and why they're trying to achieve it.
Right.
I think that's the best way to make those changes.
Right.
There's lots of things and small things you can do to do that, but unless you understand why and really care about that why, then you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's looking back at that kind of the value or the want or need for that, I think.
Right, okay. It's odd, isn't it? Because so many of us recognise that our lifestyles don't work really well.
But it's mindset, as Richard said, and like my new husband used to commute, used to travel. We both used to travel all around the world for work. Now, for 2 years in lockdown, he's lost probably 2 stone because he's using, like you said, his commute time to paddleboard or windsurf. He's just started kite surfing. He's 50. So he's lost loads of weight. I've put on 2 stone because I'm around food all the time. So it's a bit like when I was a mum and the kids were small and you're always cooking and you're polishing off their leftover baked beans on toast or whatever. Whereas I'm better when I'm out away from the kitchen and not just food. But you have a choice, don't you, to either, you know, I've failed, I've put on weight, he's lost weight.
Yeah. I think it's setting that choice from the start. I did the same. I lost 2 stone as well, being in lockdown.
And you can go off people, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've put some back on now, though, don't worry. But I think as you said, it's that mindset towards that. Did you use that time to be really focused? Because it wasn't... I like social, I like people, so I use... The reason I put weight back on now is because I'm seeing friends and we're going for beers or we're socialising again. Whereas that time I was like, actually, I'm here by myself. I don't need to have the unhealthy food or the drinks when I can actually spend more time making healthier food and being more mindful on my health.
Right.
And I think it's that mindset to which one you want to do. Maybe you're going to actually, this is time for me just to chill out, or how you looked at the lockdown or how you looked at being isolated.
Hmm.
I think it's going to matter to that area of it.
Absolutely. It's funny, isn't it? I mean, for me, I have to get my head in the right place to do this. And that is the biggest thing for me. I know exactly what I need to do to be healthy.
You're really good at counting calories.
I'm one of those sad individuals that knows the calorific content of absolutely everything in my head. Yeah. And
you're still
making
the choices you're still about making those choices if you're not mentally prepared or want to do it. If you don't want to do it.
And that's exactly my problem. Is before lockdown, I'd actually started eating more healthily. I was eating Ibiza Fitness Foods.
IFF Kitchen now.
I was walking and stuff like that. Yeah. And I'd lost quite a bit of weight. And then as soon as the lockdown came, it all went to pot. And I couldn't get my head, you know, my mental head back into the right frame of mind to go, you know, I've got to stop eating McDonald's and I've got to stop eating Kentucky Fried Chicken at the same time. And
with a McDonald's on the side.
And crisps and licorice and biscuits.
That's nearly as bad as Marmite and peanut butter.
Yeah.
At least that's protein.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it is hard. And I think we've all been through something that none of us have ever been through. And as my mum, who's 91, said, even during World War II, you could hug someone. And, you know, we remember at the time when, what's his name, the health minister, Matt Bobby, said, whatever you do, don't hug your grandmother, your killer. You know, it's just, we've been through really awful stuff. And I think for young people, horrible. For elderly people, just as bad. But also the way that things have changed, where... For me, I feel like there's nothing that we can do on the spur of the moment. I keep saying to new husband, let's have a party, let's invite. And I think, well, maybe I shouldn't invite, you know, 40 people around or whatever for a knees up. So I think it's affected us all mentally.
You could stage a climate conference and then you can have 30,000. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
edgy political there.
Yeah.
So, Richard, from your point of view... what is it that you would say to people like us in terms of the things we've said, in terms of being at work? How do we start to get our heads around more wellness for us and the people we work with?
For us, I think it's, as I said earlier on, it's about challenging your why and challenging your actual motivation and what you want to achieve.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you to eat healthier, I can tell you to be more exercised, but if you don't want to do it, you're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So that would be, as an individual, as a company, I always think it's about giving people the opportunity to learn, to do what you're putting out there and what the education you can give, but also the opportunity to try new things or to work the best way they're going to work, and to be themselves. And if you can do that, then you get the best out of them. There's more chance they're going to look after their health, because everybody ultimately wants to live healthy lives or be healthy. Yeah. I think if I created a tablet which did everything, made you healthy, made you fit, made you at the correct weight without actually having to do anything, every single human being would take it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that advert.
Yeah, we don't want to take it, right? Because we don't want to do that hard work to get to the health, and some things just aren't easy. Yeah. So sometimes you have to sacrifice things.
I think that's the truism of all of this, isn't it? Despite all the things you see on the internet, on Facebook, on magazines and television, all the people offering, you know, quick fix stuff, there is no quick fix, is there? You just got to do the right thing. You got to eat healthily and exercise.
It's what makes it a lifestyle. And this is why what social media doesn't show you. It's for the social media influencers, which look fantastic. They don't tell you the graph or the unhappiness or the boring foods or any of that kind of stuff. They have to kind of go through day out. Mm. Possible steroids, whoever that is.
And photoshopped.
possibly photoshopped.
Yeah.
But I know Josh of Ibiza Kitchen, IFF Kitchen as it is now, Manson. He had a chef who was all over the place. He won't mind me saying. And Josh looked at his regime and what he was eating, and this guy was consuming like 6 Diet Cokes a day, and you know, and wondered why he felt crap, you know.
Is that all?
Yeah, but you know, and sugary drinks and stuff, so he was possibly eating healthily but just drinking loads and loads of sugar without realizing it, and he couldn't sleep. His sleep patterns were all over, and Josh got him to cut it out, and he slept like a baby, and the difference was incredible. And that's just a really small tweak.
And it could just be that. It could just be actually understanding something a bit better. And that's why when I talk about well-being, I talk about well-being from each angle of well-being. So you've got your physical health, you've got your mental health, you've got a societal or environmental place or well-being, and then you've got your financial. And I think it's key that you look at each of those to assess where you are and how you can support that within yourself.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So would you say that you're sort of going into the realms of HR? Do you work with HR?
So my main role is to support HR, depending on the size of the company, to help them create their strategies or plans or give them the support to look after their people.
Because
in a larger organisation as well, it's incredibly important, because we lose a lot of productivity to sick days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
so it's not just that, though, anymore. It's about the turnover, the cost of turnover, the cost of presenteeism. People sitting at work, not working, because they're burnt out or tired or whatever that may be.
Mm.
That kind of area, being just being lethargic and say waking up at 6:30, sitting on a computer, we all know by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So you're not working from that time onwards, because you're not productive. Mm. And no coffee, no amount of caffeine.
He's been checking up on me, hasn't he?
But the thing is, I got up, as I said, at 5 a.m. yesterday, which luckily, because of the clocks, was 6 a.m, so I sort of managed. And I felt great all yesterday, but today I'm tired. And so when I'm tired, I'm the kind of person that will reach for coffee, and then I fancy carbs. And it is about getting enough sleep, definitely. Right. When you're tired, you just eat crap. You want to. Mm.
It's the foundation.
Yes.
It's the one thing, like for me, I look at that first.
What, sleep?
Sleep, yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't build a house on a bit of land with no foundation. You have to build that foundation and a good foundation.
Mm.
So it's good habits, it's a good routine, putting those things into place. And once you can do that, then you can, it's going to help you create the routine around your other healthy lifestyle options.
And how many people sleep with their phones in their bedroom? I mean, I always turn off my Alexa at night. We have one in the bedroom. I always turn off.
That's Andy.
She reads me a story, and then I turn her off. And I've got a salt lamp, so she turns that off, and then I prance out of bed, have my bedtime story, and prance out of bed, and she turns the salt lamp off, and I turn it off.
Yeah. For a lot of us, our phones are there. We're obviously way too attached to them.
Myself
included.
Yeah.
But then you also have the element of that's where most people's alarms are. We have our alarms on our phone. I bought this year or last year one of the sunset and sunrises alarms or clocks.
Lumi
was the cheap version of Amazon.
I didn't know they do another one. I've used Lumi for about 17 years. They're amazing.
Yeah, one of the best buyers, because I now have made that part of my routine. When that goes off, I'm in there, I'm having a read for half an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm just not on my phone because I'm enjoying my learning. Mm. But it's part of what I enjoy doing. And then I'm also not in front of a screen, because screen light and normal light is one of the worst things for our melatonin production. Yeah. So actually, it's not so much being on our phones. It might help from the way your brain processes things and begins to worry and stress about things. Mm. But it's more of the light produced from the phone that affects us most.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And also getting out in the sunshine. I personally, Paul, I've known Paul for 100 years. I don't think you go outside enough.
Without a doubt.
You live in Tenterden, which is beautiful country. He's got a huge garden. I don't see you as a sitting outside person with a cup of coffee much. And I think it's really, really important.
No, you're absolutely right. I would love to sit out in my garden, and during the summer I'd love to swim in my pool every day. But I actually spend all of my time working, sat in front of a computer, on my phone, looking at my computer for 16, 17, 18, sometimes 19 hours a day.
Yeah, that's not good. That is not good.
It's not going to be good. Also, you don't want that either. Like if I said to you, would you choose to do that, you would say no.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing as well, isn't it? It's creating good practice and good balance.
Yeah.
If there's a balance, you don't think it's going to help achieve your internal goal of being healthier and happier.
Yeah.
Or spending more time with your family or looking after yourself. Then ultimately you're not going to...
It's also about being in the moment, isn't it? Like sometimes when I'm cooking, I think, oh God, and I'm just bashing it out. And then sometimes if you actually put on some nice music and you're actually consciously chopping the carrot or chopping the onion and you get into it and you're not rushed. Like this morning I walked the greyhound, but because I'm coming here, it was a rush, and she's a new dog and she's sniffing everything. I'm going, come on. And it was a stressful walk, whereas usually it's a leisurely walk.
Yeah.
So it's about being in that place at the time.
Prison, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what, like, reflection, some savouring stuff you can do. I was listening to a book, I can't remember what book, but one of their tips was to take a tennis ball out on a walk with you, and then you just bounce the tennis ball, because then your brain is only focused on one thing at a time.
Trying to catch it.
And then you take away from all the
it's a really good
the
tip.
Brain things our brain does 1,000 times every minute, whatever it is.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like, actually, I'm just going to bounce this ball, and then I'm in there for 30 minutes. I've not thought about work. I've taken away all those pressures, and I feel so much better.
Mm.
So if I were telling Paul, or you were telling Paul, I would say to Paul, okay, you've got this beautiful house with this beautiful garden and pool. You need to be on your computer. You need to be running your businesses. You've got loads of businesses. I get that. But he could go out and sit outside by the pool with your laptop on an extension. Or your phone. That's what I do. I take my laptop out.
My Wi-Fi doesn't reach out there.
But that's something I would definitely suggest. I would question, as a business owner, and you know this, and obviously a successful business owner, I'd question how much of your time can you, how much of the time do you spend working which you don't like doing, and how much could you get somebody else to do to create a better lifestyle for yourself?
Sure.
That'd be the best one, right? Because it's time. I was listening to Steve Barlett. Do you guys know Stephen Barker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, him, his book, Happy 6 Million, I think you referred that to me, actually. And he talks about this concept of time and the fact we don't prioritise our time. And he talks about it from like a casino chip angle.
Yeah.
And he says, like, most of us on an average lifestyle have like 500,000 hours in our lifetime. And he says imagine those as chips. And every hour you put a chip down, but you don't get that chip back ever.
Yeah.
So it's recognizing the importance of what your time is. And some of us, like for me, 30, I've got 300,000 hours left. As you get older, you lose that amount. So do you want to waste your time working, or do you want to waste your time seeing friends, doing the things which are really important to you? If you can do that, then you're going to be happier and healthier anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like everything, isn't it? We all know this kind of stuff intuitively, but it's how you get into doing it regularly and training yourself to do it. I mean, in my defence, what I find is that I'm driven by idiots in banks. Thank you, HSBC.
You've had a long run with them.
It's 6 months of hell I've had with them. And the problem with that is that you don't get to choose when you deal with them. They get to choose when they deal with you or when they bother to answer the phone or whatever. So that's where, so one, you're stressed doing it anyway, and two, you're being driven by somebody else's agenda. And that's what I find difficult.
It's also the helplessness, isn't it? Because you can't...
It's because you're out of control.
You can't sort them out.
All mental health issues essentially come down to a feeling of not being in control of your life.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you're controlled by the government or a big institution or an organisation or, you know...
Social media.
You're out of control and you become stressed.
Banging your head against a brick wall. You know, it's like the call centres, isn't it? When you're trying to sort out your electricity bill or your gas and you're held in a queue and you've got the whole thing.
But it's really dumb stuff. Like, you know, I ring a bank and they go, right, we want to identify you. What's your date of birth? And I go, 22nd of August 1955. And they go, no, it's not. And I go, do you know what? I was there at the time. I remember it. I know.
Ring my mum.
Yeah, ring my mum. I'll put my mum on. She's 93. She'll tell you. Yeah. But no, they go, no, that's not your... You know, and you just think, oh, this is a nonsense.
I had an interesting...
Understand then what is in your circle of control.
Yeah.
What are you letting outside of your circle of control affect you? Yeah. That's the hardest part, right? Going, actually, this is the things I can control. This is what I'm going to do really well. This stuff I can't control. Why is this affecting my mental health or my mindset? I can't do anything about that. If I can, then let's do something about it. Let's put the time towards it to process it and fix that. Yeah. If not, then what's the point? Then just let that go. Let that not affect you as much.
Yeah.
And manage it better, as best you can. Anyway.
And we need to point out to the listener, because they can't see you, that you are a gym bunny. He's very, very toned, isn't he, Paul Andrew? He's got muscles and things like that.
I don't know, I've noticed.
I'm wearing a T-shirt.
So exercise is a huge... You're a personal trainer. So do you go as far as to do exercise when you go into these clients? Do you put them through? So tell me what you put them through.
So
hell. He puts them through hell.
How do you start? Do you measure them and all that?
Everybody always thinks that PTs are like the meanest human beings in the world. But actually, I think we're relatively nice people. We're just looking out for you guys. And sometimes that means you have to work hard.
Yeah.
So I look at exercise. My mindset towards exercise has changed throughout the years. So I started exercise 15, 16 years ago. Just fresh out of school. Because I changed, and I used to at that point, I used to think, I'm doing this to make myself look good naked, right? Because let's be honest, that's most of the why a 16-year-old...
He's fully clothed, listen.
But that's the reason why, at 16 years old, I wanted to do that. Myself on a scale. But then, as I got older, and I think even more so when I started this business, I understood the means for... Actually, I do exercise because it helps my mindset... make me be more productive. It's part of my lifestyle. It makes me happier. And now actually I train just to get rid of some of those frustrations, or I need to do this because I'm lethargic or whatever it is. And my mindset's just shifted. So and that could be for anything. So a lot of stuff we do for employees' health is like we do stuff which people is manageable for people. So it's HIIT training, whether that's online or in person, but it's either beginner level or advanced. But we do a lot of yoga, it's a lot of breath work, it's a lot of movement, it's a lot of posture correction, getting people moving outside of their chairs. And I bet I just saw you do it as well. As soon as they say posture, everybody sits up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sits in their chair.
I am actually a yoga teacher as well. I mean, the breath is so important.
The what?
The breath.
Oh, breath.
Especially when you've had garlic. But, you know, I mean, we talk about mindfulness now, but of course, I mean, I was teaching yoga in the 80s when it was a bit out there. You know, when you were talking about the tennis ball, I really get that. I'm going to get Paul Andrews a tennis ball for Christmas, or maybe two. But it's just that feeling of the soles of your feet on the floor. It's that simple. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm talking to you, I'm conscious that the soles of my feet are on the floor. Now, you'd think that was really weird, wouldn't you? You wouldn't get that at all.
Soles of my feet aren't on the floor.
He's a Leo. You see, can you imagine how difficult it would be to work with this man? I see this, Richard, as a challenge for you.
But they're not. Look under the table. Look under the table. Look how I'm sitting. Neither of my feet have got the soles.
Why would you sit like
I'm
that?
I'm just sitting like that because it was comfortable.
You're actually stretching your ankles, though, so I suppose that's a plus, isn't it? He's doing a little ankle stretch there.
It's just about the needs of the people. Because some people have, like, some workplaces will have relatively young, fit people.
Yeah.
I say young because I think, and this could be obviously wrong, but I think they're more mindful of their health.
Yeah.
I think exercise.
Really?
I think exercise.
Have you ever seen students at Freshers Week with the shots?
Well, it's not, it's not.
I was horrified when my son went to uni, the youngest, Che. He the shots, the culture. You know, I give me a nice glass of wine and I'll actually taste it, you know. But they're just necking these shots, and the pressure for young people and freshers year or whatever it is.
It's my favourite time of university.
Yeah, of course. Can you remember any of it though? You know. But did you taste any of that? It's just like necking.
Yeah, it's just having fun.
Well, look, they're fit enough to cope with it. You see, they get like
God. Yeah. I'd have like a hangover for a week.
Well, I to my dad. My dad's 67, and he doesn't do exercise. And it's just not something. What happened? Like exercise, I think, is so much more out there now compared to what different generations.
Yeah, but that generation, my dad would. He was a building society manager. He would come home for lunch at 1 o'clock. My mother would be at home making the lunch. He'd then go back. He'd get back at 5 p.m, eat his dinner or tea or whatever, and then mow the lawn. It was a different lifestyle.
Oh, everything was.
He was moving all the time.
When I was younger, I played football at a reasonable level. But I used to smoke during training. You go, oh, I'm having a fag. Yeah.
Like Guinness was good for you. And
Yeah.
Well, Guinness is still promoted in Africa as good for you.
At the end of training, we'd all go in the pub and eat a meat pie and four pints of beer, you know, and 10 fags.
I play hockey and we still do that after our games. It's part of, for me, in social well-being is up there is one of my top things you have to be looking after. And that is the reason why people play sport. It's the reason why we get into team things and we do things as groups.
This is a fascinating conversation, and we've run on a long time.
We learned about tennis balls.
But it's almost time to join a newsroom, would you believe? So we need to kind of wrap it up. Richard, thank you so much for that. It was fascinating talking to you about the whole thing about wellness. Give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out more about you and what you do.
Yes, my website's employeeshealth.co.uk.
Okay.
That's employees with two E's, E-E-S.
And an S, yeah. There's a link to it on the Kent Business Radio website as well. So, Richard, do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, thank you so much for that. That's absolutely
keep
brilliant.
The soles of your feet on the floor.
I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson, who's talking about what Richard was saying. Interesting how lockdown has affected health and wellness, both mental and physical, in so many ways. And you're right, Paul. Frame of mind has a huge impact on our choices. When we're inspired, it's fantastic. But knowing how to do something means nothing when we have no motivation. You're absolutely right, Tracy. Absolutely spot on. Listen, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a minute. You can read one thing, Jules, as long as it's quick.
Okay, a town business tycoon is set to launch a new fish restaurant in a long vacant seafront building. This is Mehmet Dari, who's the owner of, I know Mehmet really well, owner of La Turca restaurants, is breathing new life into the former Le Petit Poisson, which is where I had my wedding breakfast, actually, on Herne Bay Promenade, which is reopening as the cookhouse. The restaurateur is spending £150,000 renovating the single-storey premises where he hopes to build a rooftop restaurant in future. It will be the 41-year-old's fifth business in the town. Mr. Dari also owns four a la Turca restaurants, including one in Herne Bay, with a fifth set to launch in Whitstable. Is that quick enough?
Fairly much, yeah. I was just going to read a quick tweet, and now I've lost them. I can't find them now.
Well, Tracy, did you mention Tracy? So you can find her at Tazy. I'm just looking up now.
Tazy64, yeah.
Thank you. She's just listening. And, of course, you can find out all about her Plucky's World by going onto her Twitter. So hello to you.
There's loads of tweets, and I had them all lined up ready to read, and now I can't find any.
Well, those ladies at We Do Social Media, the team there, have said at Jules Serkin, Happy Sexy Millionaire by Steve Bartlett, SC. So that's the book that Richard Turner was mentioning. So I'm going to have a look at that because that sounds good. Thank you, ladies.
Had a tweet from the lovely folks at Paragon Drones asking for a shout out to give them a follow on Twitter, Paragon Drones.
What are they droning today?
They drone all kinds of things, actually. They even drone in enclosed environments, which is quite interesting stuff. You read the one from DG East about car manufacturing, don't you? And so about smart roads.
Tracy Ferguson has said, interesting how lockdowns have affected health and wellness.
I just read that.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry. Did you read your right, Paul, frame of mind?
My what?
Did you read the rest of it? And you're
right. I read all of it.
I didn't hear.
Collector's buddy Martin has been on. Could he have a shout out? Of course you can, Martin. Collector's buddy. You can follow him on the Twitter, buddy_museum. He collects collectibles and sells them on various platforms to raise money for charities.
Did you read Paragon Drone said that Jules Serkin nailed the musical Fromage in Fromage in 2 seconds? Is there no limit to her superpowers?
Absolutely.
Did you read that?
I didn't. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, hi Paul, we would love a shout out. We will be at the Women in Business Big Show in Longfield on Friday and would love for people to pop by the stand and say hello. I'm also speaking at about the three C's of employment law in the afternoon at the Women in Business Big Show. So I'll see you there, Gemma. That's lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. And that brings us nicely up to the news.
What's happening at COP?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And all the rest of it. Yeah. Here we go. We'll be back after the news.
Russia didn't go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.